Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
Auburn out of timeouts. They get it into Flanagan. Flanagan from midcourt lets it fly. It's good if it goes. It's no good. And Arkansas wins. The Razorbacks come from behind and win the ball game 75-73. Auburn got the ball to midcourt. Flanagan, just beyond the midcourt stripe, let fly the three. It was nowhere close. And the Razorbacks have a hard-earned and hard-fought 75-73 win.
Man, I'll tell you what, I was sweating bullets at the end of that game last night, because whether it was the turnovers, whether it was the open three-point attempt at the end, Arkansas almost looked like they was trying to give away last night. But a win is a win, and you got it last night, and we got to get to that multiple times this morning here on a Thursday edition on the Morning Rush. Want to talk about this Arkansas quarterback room. Thought Andrew Hutchinson made an excellent point earlier this week on Rivals that you got a lot of dual threat quarterbacks, and that's something that Kendall Briles is known for being able to utilize and perfect. We'll talk about that. Arkansas media is meeting with Hunter Yurcheck today at 10 o'clock. What questions do you have for Hunter and this overall athletic department as it's heading deeper and deeper into 2021? Got a big news update with the Arkansas women's basketball team.
Yeah.
They're hosting the UConn women and maybe the greatest women coach in the history of basketball, Gino Auriemma, coming to town next Thursday. And then update on the Razorback baseball ticket sales, how that's going to work. A lot to talk about this morning on a Thursday edition of the Morning Rush. Tom Murphy, 7:20, and then RD Richard Davenport at 8 o'clock.
Got to start with this basketball game, though, from last night. I mean, it is interesting as particularly that UConn game strikes me, and I can't wait till we can discuss that a little bit more for the women's program. This game last night, not surprised. I told you what a surprise last night. I didn't mean that in the way that I think maybe you took it, that I was surprised they won. Wasn't surprised at all that they won. I was surprised that they get down 19 points to fight back to win. I mean, that has not been the way this team has done it. Now, the last couple of games, and we magnify in on those because those are recent. We're against ranked teams on the road, and they're placed at LSU and Bama. Bama's just whooping everybody. But last night at home, down 19, you find a way to start making shots, and then you have more juice going to the boards. Kind of quit turning the ball. It's like everything improved when the ball started going in early in the second half. And really, it kind of started into the first half. He's wondering when they put the 1 second back on, hey, if that ball goes in, you're really going to be a little more energized going into the locker room and coming out. Now, of course, it didn't. But, I thought it was perhaps, we won't know yet, you'll look back at this win and this moment and that half of basketball, and it might be the start of something for the rest of the year.
You hope so. You hope they use that confidence that they were able to gain last night, and that helps translate to another win in Nashville against the Vanderbilt Commodores this weekend. That's just the hope that you have with this basketball team. And there's a lot of different people that deserve credit last night. Muss, one of them, his staff. I thought Jalen Williams was outstanding once again. He just is so, I think, much more versatile than Connor is on both ends of the floor. I really have enjoyed watching this guy kind of blossom in front of our eyes. Justin Smith had that beautiful alley-oop that he received from Jalen Tate. That was fantastic. A lot of players stepped up last night in the second half. Even Moses Moody, who had a really rough scoring drought for the majority of that basketball game, got some clutch buckets down the stretch.
Yeah, this, I don't know if this is a devastating loss for Auburn and their team, but you kind of got to feel, I mean, there's no other way to feel about it if you're Auburn, where you know, you lead by nearly 20. And again, the 20-point rule did not go into effect. You only trailed by 19, and you find a way to lose the game. You generally can't ever be down by 20 points, and it was 19, and find a way to come back and win. But somehow they did. Now, the switch on the defense, that was the coaching move of the night, when they started doubling up on Cooper. Jimmy Dykes postgame in the SEC Now segments pointed this out. It was pointed out by Mark Weiss during the TV broadcast. When Arkansas just started doubling him up and basically forcing the ball out of his hands, that's when things changed offensively for Auburn.
Yeah, he had still was managed 25 points. He's still, I mean, that kid.
A lot of that was early, though.
And that kid's just a great basketball player. And he got several buckets down the stretch, but the final possession where you stopped him prior to, I think it was Flanagan that attempted the three pointer at the conclusion of the
half
game.
Quarter.
Yeah, yeah, you blocked. I know that Moses blocked the shot, and then I think Justin Smith helped block the shot as well. So it really was the game plan for Musk, you saw, as you mentioned, to get just, if someone else beats us, that's okay, but this guy's not going to beat us. And Auburn at times was confused and made some bad plays, and they were willing to give up some open threes as long as Cooper wasn't the one that beat them last night.
But that's not the way they played for the first 10, 15 minutes of the ball game. I mean, Cooper was one-on-one. Arkansas was one-on-one with him. Then I thought they were defending him well one-on-one, and he was still making shots. I mean, it wasn't like the defense was non-existent on him. He was just making shots in the face of the defense. I mean, I thought they just elevated and went to the next level. And that's just basically, all right, we're going to take the ball away from you. You know,
he's just, I mean, he's five-star for a reason.
Yeah, like, exactly.
There's a reason Auburn's a much better team with the floor.
I mean, I didn't think Arkansas was, for the most part, defending him poorly when he was making those 25 points in the first half, you know, the majority of them. Arkansas had a hand in the face. Arkansas was within a few feet defending. He just made the shots. You're exactly right. He's a five-star for a reason.
Not a five-star, but a guy that looked like a five-star last night. Desi still stepped up and stepped up big. He goes 7 for 12, 22 points, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. The Razorbacks had 48 points in the paint. Desi was a big part of that. You had several other guys that got to the paint at will last night, and that was an area where you only had, that was the lowest, I think Eric Musselman touched on it in the post-game press conference. You only attempted 15 threes, and to his knowledge, that was the lowest amount of attempted threes you've taken. Auburn is one of the best shot-blocking teams in not just the SEC, but in college basketball. They have like the, I think it's top 15, top 10 length in college basketball, and Arkansas was still able to get to the rim, make some plays, and it was really good to see Desi kind of get into himself a little bit and play like the Desi Sills we know he's capable of being.
And really went from famine to feast in this game. Started out slow again. You could see he wasn't yet back on defense when the shot didn't go in. I don't know if pouting or sulking is the right word, but the confidence wasn't there. And then when the shots started going in, particularly in the second half, and he started lighting up, defense got better, rebound, everything about his game got better. And this team as a whole obviously started feeling that that edge that they were looking for.
So. And they got it last night. So there's a lot of good things that happened in the Arkansas game last night. What were your overall takeaways from the performance? You can call or text in at any point this morning. It's 877-377-6963. I know they got off to another slow start, but the end result is what matters when you finish with a 75-73 win over a conference opponent. Now 3-4 in the SEC with the chance to kind of even up the odds against Vanderbilt, go 4-4 in conference on Saturday. That's something this Arkansas basketball team should be striving for the rest of the way.
Yeah, you're a better team than Vanderbilt. This is a game you've got to win from a lot of aspects. A, you need to win. B, net rankings. I mean, keep going down a list of all the reasons you need to win. Conference standings, getting those evened up. Just keep going. But, last night, we don't know yet. As I said a moment ago, we may look back in a few weeks and say that Auburn second half was the start of where we're at now. May look back at that moment and say, this is where it all began.
I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Looked down at some point in time in the second half towards the very end. It looked like Arkansas was trying to give the game away. Someone's got to tell the young freshman Devo Davis he can run the baseline after a made basket. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
I was screaming at the TV, run the baseline! run the ball, and he's just staying stagnant. He's not moving. He turned the ball over twice, and luckily, though, Hawks got a dub, Tommy.
Yeah, and, I said this was surprising. Not surprising that they won. Surprising they got down 19 with 5 minutes to go in the first half, a little less than that, and still find a way to come back and win the ball game. That has not been their MO. Generally, they get down and things just continue to spiral. Not the way last night. So whatever the adjustment was clear. I mean, the adjustment was doubling up on Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
That was the adjustment of the ball game. Cooper ends up with, what was it, 25 for the game,
yeah.
But 11 of those were in the second half. So they put the clamps on him, took the ball kind of out of his hands, and that was the big adjustment that really made the difference in the second half, was limiting the number of shots he got on the basket.
Yeah, and it was fun to watch as far as he was concerned, limited or anything, but you got it done. And we'll talk about this more coming up. For our Arkansas baseball fans out there, got the ticket update with that now.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in this.
Baseball season ticket holder, what are your thoughts on the – did you get an email, or did they just put this online?
I think they just – well, I did not get an email, but my tickets are handled a little bit differently for baseball than – I don't buy them direct. They come through another
black,
deal anyway.
Black market?
No, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just wanted to make sure.
Exactly. But, I think this just gives people the information that, hey – Here's how it's going to be this year. You knew it was going to be diminished capacity. We've all had to be patient. We've all had to be understanding about exactly what's happened in football, basketball, now baseball. It's women's basketball, there's been enough room for everybody to pretty much attend that wants to attend. But these higher demand sports, they got to make choices.
You want to go over the Cliff Notes real quick?
You got them there?
Yeah. Coming days, every season ticket holder will receive the opportunity to go online and, based on availability, select up to 8 to 10 games. The games, Tommy, are going to be broken up into groups: SEC Fridays, SEC Saturdays, and SEC Thursdays and Sundays, mm-hmm. and non-conference. You can select 2 tickets per game selected. That's what you're going to be limited to.
So if you got 33 home games and you get to set 8 to 10?
8 to 10.
So that'd be about a third. And that's kind of what I thought you would end up getting, is maybe one for the SEC games, one game per series, something of that nature. So I'm thinking that's how it's going to be this year. That way you're not locked out of any series. Hopefully, particularly people like I've got a buddy, Bill in Van Buren, who's, I think it's Section 101. It's a big community over there. I'm sure they all know each other, have each other's numbers. Hey, if you need to, hey, I'll swap you this game for that game. You get to know, when you go to that many games, 30-something games a year, the people around you become like family.
Friends, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully you've got some folks and everybody's seating assignment stays somewhat the same. You can swap that around. Now, they may move everybody's seat assignment this year for social distancing purposes, and they will.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole reason, is they're going to take the third of the stadium scattered out over the 100% of the stadium. But nonetheless, my point is, you still know these people. You can make contact. Everybody's got these communities online and all this stuff that, maybe you can find ways to get tickets to games that you need to get to, so, or want to get to.
And we can be, as we do often on the Morning Rush, very, very Samaritan-like type work. We can be a sort of ticket exchange. So if you ever have tickets that you wish to give away to other Arkansas baseball fans, call us and we'll orchestrate some trade or exchange here, either on air or off air.
Yeah, I was thinking how we could put some kind of deal on our website to make a kind of ticket exchange deal. I'll have to talk to Andy about that to see what we could come up with.
Send them to us.
What kind of template or module or something? I don't know. It's over my head. I need you smart guys to get involved.
We can. We'll be able to figure it out somehow, finagle it somehow, some way.
All right. So that's the reserve seats. What are they going to do about GA? What about the Hogpen?
Hogpen, where the real fans are at.
Yeah. Oh God. Please.
It's going to look a little different.
The real fans.
There is a little social distancing going on.
Well,
there's
going
to be area that are 6 by 6 feet that can accommodate 4 people. So that's what that's going to look like. You have to reserve these areas for tickets. Big note, coolers are still allowed.
Okay.
Thank the Lord.
But only Coke Zero.
Let's see. Yeah. And that'd be funny if they changed the policy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Diet Pepsi. Pardon me. Diet Pepsi.
The Hogpen bleachers are $10. The Hogpen reserved area and red areas is $80 on the weekend, $65 on the midweek games. And the white area is $60.50. Hey, so
when you say white area, red area, that what?
They don't have a. I was looking for a layout. My guess is since it's cheaper, the red area is more up front and the white area is more in the back. Right. That is just an, I don't even know if you can call it an educated.
It sounds
guess.
To me like that the higher demand, better sight line areas are going to be $20 a ticket per game. You said 80 for mm-hmm. four for the weekend. Sounds to me like $20 a ticket.
To me, that's not that bad, is
no,
it?
No, I mean, you know, if you want to go, I mean, it's supply and demand. It's economics 101. You're going to have a lot more people that want those tickets in the hog pen than you have tickets available.
Red areas, Tommy, are the front row. Now, bummer for all you hot dog and burger cookers out there, grills are not going to be available this season.
Can you bring a grill?
Probably not. Is that a 100-year check question?
I always brought my own grill when I sat in the hog pen.
Did you?
Yep.
Did you actually?
Absolutely.
I didn't know.
It's called a fire and ice grill. It's a grill that sits on top of an ice chest. You wheel the whole thing in. It's a whole self-contained deal. It was all fantastic.
No tailgating outside like there was in football, like there was in basketball. Gates are opening 90 minutes before first pitch, usually 2 hours, but 30 minutes later. So that kind of, in a short couple minutes, is kind of, I feel like, glosses over. What are you laughing at?
JT, Ty says, thank the Lord about being able to get drunk, shaking my head.
I didn't insinuate that I was going to get.
Saying about coolers? I mean, that's exactly.
What else are you going to go sit in the hog pen and do?
Drink Dr. Pepper.
Drink Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
I love Dr.
Look,
Pepper.
Look, I want you to look dead in that camera and tell them that you're drinking.
I love Dr.
You're
Pepper.
You're so full of you know what.
I love Dr. It's fantastic. Do you not like Dr. Pepper?
Hell no.
You don't like Dr. Pepper?
Oh, Dr. Pepper's good.
No.
Dr. Pepper's really good.
I've never seen you drink. I've seen you drink Dr. Fizz or whatever Tommy said that was in that fridge from that Christmas party.
Dr. Fizz.
Dr. Dazzle.
So Dr. Dazzle, yeah.
I am a little disappointed in my previous host and friend, Phil Elson, because there was a game last season where he was supposed to sit with us in the hog pen for 30 to 45 minutes before he departed to a women's basketball game. And my friends were so excited. They're like, oh my gosh, the voice of Razorback baseball is going to sit with us.
You were telling everybody, weren't you?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, hey, you can't sit there. That Phil Elson's going to be, move. I can see you out there.
I get a text from Phil.
Hey, do you know my buddy Phil Elson's coming out here in a minute?
Listen, yep. He's a reputable name.
Hey, ladies, Phil Elson will be here in a moment.
I got a text to prove it.
Yeah.
And he didn't come. Very disappointed in Phil.
Made you look like a fool, didn't he?
Oh, I was getting ridiculed for my group of Morning Rush Arkansas baseball fans. So very disappointed, Phil. Hopefully, I don't know how it's going to work this year, but if we do have an extra seat available, we'll make it out there. But that kind of wraps up what the discussion is. And the red, you're asking about the red, Tommy, the red's front row is what it says here in the website.
Good. I don't want to sit anywhere other than the front row. Yeah.
No, of course not.
If I'm going out there, I'm going front row.
It's, by the way, y'all, if you want to look at this more in depth,
thank the Lord.
I feel like
thank
we tree-topped it a little bit, but you can go to ArkansasRazorbacks.com. All the information is there regarding, again, the Arkansas baseball stuff.
He's bringing the cooler. Me and you can go sit front row so he can get his fill in. I mean, you can get our fill in watching baseball.
Yeah. You know, all of this sucks that tickets are limited. You know, atmospheres are diminished, all that.
Yeah.
There's only one good positive out of all of this. Parking's never an issue anymore. If there was one thing.
That's a real
good point. Parking, finding a spot, having now to traipse down from lot 56, although, you know, because some of those weekends when it was being cram jam full,
fire marshal
sellout.
Yeah.
They'd have to run shuttle buses from, you know, up the road. That won't be a problem.
Parking at the U of A.
That's the only plus to basketball, football, all of this is, parking's not been a nightmare.
Yeah. Parking at the U of A sucks in general when you're a student or going to games, and this is the only positive that you can probably take out of all of this.
That's
like
it.
Like you're saying. That's
I
it.
I mean, for a student, I guess it really stinks because you got to move your car or whatever, depending on where your permit's at. But I think as a fan, all in all, they do a pretty good job of getting you in, getting you out, getting you a place to park.
Yeah.
And if you're a ways away from the venue, they get you shuttled there and back.
I know I was talking to several Morning Rush listeners who are students at the University of Arkansas, and they felt like they got shafted yesterday because, I mean, you usually just swipe your student ID and you get in regardless, but now you're going to have to reserve. I don't know how that's going to work.
I mean, we just know there's going to be more demand for the hog pen because that's not just a student deal. So there's going to be a lot more demand for that than there is going to be availability. Yeah. So this is the only way you can do it is by reservation.
It's a shame for the graduates of the U of A that still might have their student ID that's not going to work anymore. Real bummer for those people.
You wouldn't
run
that scam on them, would you?
Of course not. Absolutely not. Would never do that. Other Arkansas news. This was huge, and we were talking about this yesterday. Jenkins actually brought this up to me. He's like, did you see who Arkansas might be playing? And there was like rumors going around. Playing UConn.
Yep.
Next Thursday. Not in Storrs, Connecticut.
Not here.
Bud Walton Arena. This is, I mean, it's Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma, right? I'm forgetting the Stanford coach's name that I think just retired. But that's like it, right? For women's.
Mulkey? No, that's Baylor.
Kim Mulkey's Baylor. And she's up there as well. My dad would be irritated that I didn't mention her in the same breath. But that's like, it's.
I don't even think. You may be right about the Stanford deal, but I mean, the casual women's basketball fan thinks about two coaches when they think about women's.
Vanderveer.
Basketball.
Terry Vanderveer.
And that's the late Pat Summitt and Gino.
Yeah, and you think about this. So Arkansas had played.
Those are the faces of women's college basketball.
Yeah, Arkansas had played UConn since Sue Bird was on the team, so it's been quite a while. This is going to be fun.
I mean, it's not really a team you want to play a lot. I mean, you know, you kind of got to question neighbor sanity a little bit right now about why you're doing this.
Well,
but it's hey.
Here's what I'll say about it, though. That shows you where the Arkansas basketball women's are right now. The fact that the best basketball program in women's basketball is coming to your place.
Well,
right?
Yeah. And let's just clarify this because let's be honest, a lot of our audience may not pay attention to the hardcore ins and outs of what's going on with that program. Why is this game happening? Why all of a sudden is this being added to the schedule? Where did this come from, guys? Well, when Vanderbilt's women's program shut down for the season, that left a hole in the Arkansas women's schedule, and the staff went to work and created this game to fill that void. So if you're wondering, why are they just now announcing UConn on the women's schedule? Why am I hearing about this right now for the first time? Well, that's why. When they lost the Vanderbilt game, the league allowed them to substitute it with someone else, and this was the solution for Arkansas.
SEC news for you. We were talking about Tennessee a little earlier, you brought up Eric Gray, Henry Tototo. That's close enough. Their star linebacker, I think he led the team in tackles this past season. Dude, they're leaving. It's like a mass exodus. It's like, I mean, they're just flocking out. They're gone. And you're Arkansas. There might be a guy or two you recruited. They're in the transfer portal. I go look at some. Particularly Lyman. Defensive linemen and Henry Tototo. I don't know where he was from. If he's from Memphis, Knoxville, or if he's even from Tennessee. You look at him, you always use a linebacker.
His name doesn't sound local.
Yeah, it does it. But also I saw that they're going to pay Philip Fulmer through 2023. He's going to make over $37,000 because they couldn't fire him for
$37,000
a month. Through
they could pay him $37,000 a year for a long time.
Yeah, know. His salary is $450 per year, and that's half. So that just optics on that is not good. I know that's what they have to do because if there's no cause, you can't just fire someone and then void the contract. Mm-hmm. But not good for Tennessee right now. As they
doesn't seem equitable though. That hey, we did we had him do all the dirty work to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt, and then we're going to void his contract, his buyout. We're going to make sure Jeremy Pruitt doesn't get his money. Oh, but, you know, we'll go ahead and live up to the word of the deal with Phil Fulmer.
Yeah. Well, that's Fat Full, I guess, has some pull over there. Other SEC news, Greg Sankey was talking with Clay Travis on OutKick, and the Hugh Freeze conversation is something people keep wondering about.
Are you blocking him from the league? Are you blocking him from the league? Can he coach in the league? Well, here's what Greg Sankey told Clay. He said, our coaches make their own hiring decisions. They make them. I think that we've been clear that the conference membership established that each school is responsible for a head coach position or an assistant coach position. Now, that's the PR spin commissioner. You got to say what you got
to
say.
I don't have anything to do with it.
Let me ask you.
My hands are off.
Legitimately. Is Greg Sankey and the guys out of Birmingham, are they blocking old Hugh Baby from rejoining the league? Nope. Is that a rumor, or is there some truth to that being a legitimate argument?
I think that's a good case when you're in the Hugh Freeze camp and he continues to not get jobs. Well, why? Well, they got me blackballed. They got me on the list.
I lost one game this year at Liberty.
Right.
And I think it was like NC State or something.
You'll know that it's not true when he gets a job, I guess. You know, it doesn't seem to make sense. A coach that had success in this league at a non-traditional perennial power. Did you say that fits Ole Miss?
100%.
They weren't a traditional perennial power.
It's a great description.
He turned them into a winner. Now, obviously, there were some reasons that were going on behind the scenes that led to some of that success. I do think the league is apprehensive about bringing the fox back into the hen house, so to speak. Absolutely. But has there been a formal memo written? Has there been a paper trail put on this? Absolutely not. They're smarter than that.
Gene, did I tell you that when I was working with Bill Keen, who you can hear halftime every Wednesday at 12:30, or was it 11:30?
12:30.
12:30.
Yep.
He called the solicitor service that Hugh Freeze was allegedly making on air.
Of course he did.
So that that's one of the pioneers of sports radio, Bill Keen. And I just remember crying, laughing. It's like, we'll just call him up. He got the number somehow, and I think it went to voicemail. But he left a message, and it was hysterical. I thought that was quite funny. Tommy, Cody Burns, Fort Smith guy. Did you see the news on him? He's going out to Florida, coaching UCF. It looks like
all these Malzahn guys looking for jobs tells you that Gus maybe doesn't have a track on something right now, because these guys are needing a place to land.
Harsin,
they don't need a job.
Harsin decided not to retain him. This is for Northside.
Played at Northside and went to Auburn.
Auburn.
Played at Auburn.
Yeah, good. And he was coaching wide receivers, I think, at Auburn. And I guess Harsin's just like, I don't think you're the right guy, even though he's an Auburn alum and stuff, which happens sometimes. And I think this is something
he wasn't just an Auburn alum. He was a Gus guy, you know.
Was he? Okay.
Well, I mean, from Arkansas, recruited by Gus, went to Auburn. I mean, he had a lot of direct connections to Gus just based on where he's from.
You got that, and I saw Clay. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. I don't think I don't know if it's been officially announced yet, but I know Clay was talking about this yesterday. I think Tim Horton's going out to Air Force, working out there.
He'd been at Auburn and then went to Vanderbilt two seasons ago. I guess kind of all runs together with this COVID year, but he had been at Vanderbilt the last couple of years.
We'll talk more with.
And he was a guy that you're hoping maybe would find his way back to your staff at Arkansas. Tremendous recruiter, great relationship builder. Traditionally had coached running backs, but Tim Horton, just a gem of a fella.
So we'll see. That'll be something we'll get in more depth with our buddy Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated.
Handwritten
tomorrow.
Notes. Guy writes more handwritten notes than anybody.
Really?
Oh.
NFL news for you. Patrick Mahomes, Tommy, was limited in practice yesterday with the Kansas City Chiefs, so it's good to see him not all the way back. But, I mean, he's dealing with that foot or toe issue, and then still, I don't know if he cleared concussion protocol or the what was reported about the nerve or whatever in his neck. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's going to.
They're
going to
drag this out, man. This is about creating a storyline and drama, and yeah, he's out there. And then they're not. Why would you say? I mean, if I was Andy Reid, I'd go the opposite. Now, I think there's probably some fines or whatever get in the place if you misrepresent someone's health status in the NFL. This isn't college where you can have some gamesmanship with it. But, you know, I'd be more tempted to say, he could barely get out of the wheelchair to go to practice today. I just don't see any way he's going to play. I mean, that'd be the way I would. That's the way I would do it. I think there's probably fines for doing that in the NFL, though.
I envy Brent, who's a Morning Rush listener, lives here in Fort Smith. Him and his family are making their way up to the AFC Championship game, as is David in South Arkansas and probably several other of our Morning Rush listeners. That would be a I know it's not the Arrowhead we're accustomed to, but that would be quite a fun atmosphere to go attend this weekend against Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, and Bill's mom. I'll tell you what. If this was a normal year, COVID wasn't a thing, you think about Bills Mafia making their way to Arrowhead, which is a college level of tailgating to begin with, on top of the just rabidness and the likability of the Bills fan base. But Tom, it's going to be a little is it misty?
I just pulled the weather forecast for Sunday and see how bad do you really want to go? Well, Sunday in Kansas City, according to weather.com, it's going to be 42 degrees with a 40% chance of precipitation and an 11-mile-an-hour wind. And it isn't going to move. I mean, like the low is 39 and the high is 42. It's going to just be raw all day. Cloudy. Ugh. Well, my couch looks good. My couch is looking really good. Yeah,
I will be nestled in my lazy boy 100% that day. All right,
That game at 2 or is it the late game?
That's the late game, right? I think that's, what's it, like 5:40, some weird time. Not
all right, so yeah, it's going to be about 35 degrees. Let's see. It's going to be in the 30s for that game.
Yeah, little chilly. Real quick before we go to Philip in Bentonville, Alabama is hiring Doug Marrone, who's former Jacksonville Jaguars coach, as their offensive line coach. That comes from AL.com.
And I saw that they had made that hire. Texas had made a hire on a DC. So the more these spots get filled, the less you worry about Brad Davis for an O-line spot or, you know, Barry Odom continuing to be out there for some of these openings. So you're glad to see some of these spots get filled.
Yeah. Jenkins, you confirm the time?
Yeah, Packers, Buccaneers at 2:05 on Fox, and then Chiefs, Bills, 5:40 on CBS.
Perfect. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Welcome.
Still going to be cold. I don't care what time they play.
No, there's no doubt about it. Let's welcome in Philip, who's in Bentonville, wants to talk a little NFL, and also the retiring of Philip Rivers yesterday. Philip, you're on the Morning Rush, man. Go ahead.
Hey. With Rivers retiring, would you compare him to a modern day Dan Marino, to whereas that made the playoffs, excellent quarterback, but never won the Super Bowl?
Are you a Chargers or Colts fan, Philip?
No, I'm just a fan. I mean, I'm just a fan because, you know, he was a very good quarterback, a trash talker, and I just loved to watch the guy play. And just watching trash talk everybody. I thought it was hilarious.
He is hysterical. If you've watched any of those videos, he's really funny. There's one there, he's like, 95-yard touchdown, 95-yard. I mean, he's not in the same, to me, he's not in the same category as Dan Marino. Now, Rivers, I want to say Rivers got to one AFC championship game, and they lost like 20-12 to Tom Brady and the Pats, but Marino's arm, man, was incredible. And Rivers, to me, doesn't have the same materials as Dan Marino did, to be honest, Philip.
Okay.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. A lot of his teammates loved playing with him. I think that part, you're on to something. But, I mean, Marino, it's like the short list, Montana, Brady, Bradshaw, Marino. Who am I missing?
I mean, Marino's still, he is still considered LA amongst the elite, even though he doesn't have the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
He's,
I don't think Rivers is in that.
I think the equivalent.
He's not in that. He's not at that table. He's at the banquet, but he's not at that table.
I don't know
if he's on the front row.
I don't know if there's a good equivalent for the National Basketball Show. It was Jerry West for a while, then he finally got one with the Lakers down the stretch.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game! They just threw him out of the game! He's gotten his second technical and he's been thrown out of the ball game!
RD, I want to start with a couple in-state guys, preferred walk-ons that committed this week. We'll stay close to home, go out to Greenwood. Morgan Hanna, can you tell us about his decision to decide to walk on at the University of Arkansas?
Well, Morgan Hanna's brother, Jordan.
I mixed that up. Sorry.
It's all good. Yeah, obviously, Morgan Hanna's older brother is a redshirt freshman defensive end at Arkansas, and Jordan is going to be joining him. He's a guy that I've liked for the longest, and I think Jordan is one of those guys that was hurt a lot by no spring evaluation last year and no summer camps. I think if he was able to go to some summer camps, his offer list would have been much bigger than what it was. But he's still a very, very productive kid as far as on the football field. He had 139 tackles this past season. He had 118 as a junior, and he had 118 tackles as a junior while playing basically a stand-up defensive end, and he switched to linebacker this year. So, he had Southern Miss, Austin Peay, Central Missouri, and several other offers. But I would be very surprised if he doesn't see the field sooner rather than later. I think this is a very, very good pickup, and I've been a Jordan Hanna fan for a long time.
Another preferred walk-on, Logan Moss out of DeWitt, Arkansas, RD. Now, he's teammates with Dax Courtney, who's a 2022 kid in this upcoming recruiting class. What does Logan Moss bring similar to Jordan, not Morgan Hanna?
Well, they are pretty similar. Mm-hmm. They have similar size. They're both 6 foot, 6'1", about 200 to 210 pounds. And you look at them on film, both of them are relentless to the ball carrier and just very, very very aggressive. I mean, there's no false steps with either one of them. They know where they're going. They're know how to get there, and when they get there, they can be pretty violent. But another good pickup. So when you have success like Grant Morgan has had as a walk on, that kind of encourages other guys to follow in his footsteps, and I think that definitely helped with both of these guys.
RD, the news of the week around the Southeastern Conference has been Tennessee, their termination of Jeremy Pruitt, Phil Fulmer retiring, air quotes, retiring as their AD. What we're seeing now is a lot of players putting their name into the transfer portal. So the question obviously begs with you this morning, are there connections? Are there former players that this staff may have recruited elsewhere? Are there any fits perhaps for Arkansas as a lot of these Tennessee players will be looking for new places to play?
We'll see. None of the guys that I'm aware of, other than Salter, the quarterback, and I don't think you're going to see another quarterback coming to Arkansas. But most of the other guys, some of them had offers, but just looking at the list, not too many of them that I was aware of that were really on the radar of. Was seriously considering Arkansas during the recruiting process. Some of them obviously had some talks with Arkansas, but nothing to the point where that they I thought that they were serious. Now, obviously, things can change when you go into the portal. You're looking at all options and what may fit you, and they may play a position that they look at Arkansas's roster and go, "Hey, I can come in and I can be the starter, or I can get some serious PT time if I go there." So. Obviously, it's a wait and see.
Dead period right now is what, till mid-April? It's already been determined, is that right?
Yeah, April 15th, yeah. And, who knows what's going to happen then.
You were mentioning with Hanna and the dead period and no spring evaluation. How does that, obviously, we're having the same conversation about 22s and potential 23s as we are about the guys that were in this class. where are these guys at? How has technology maybe caught up to narrow that gap a little bit? Because as spring football will come around in May, I guess, for some of these high school players, obviously these coaches can watch tape and watch huddle and see some game film. But getting out and seeing these schools, visiting with these coaches, seeing these players is still not going to be allowed through at least April 15th.
Well, and we've talked about it, you know, how difficult it was on the 21 class. Well, at least the 21 class kids, most of them had been able to take some visits to college campuses and probably seen several college campuses. A lot of these guys, and some of them have done the same, but a lot of them, this happened right when their recruiting was starting to take off in the 22 and 23 classes. And I doubt if they've seen too many coaches eye to eye, and obviously been on as many campuses as the 21 class. So if this continues to go on longer, as far as the dead period, the 22 class kids they'll be behind the eight ball, even worse than the 21 class, in my opinion. And the evaluations of those guys is going to be even tougher. But hopefully things does loosen up and after April 15th or maybe even during the summer. But if not, boy, all the talk that we had about the 21 class, the 22 class is going to have probably even more of a difficult time if all this is extended indefinitely.
You can see that, sure.
Richard Davenport talking a little recruiting with us every Thursday, 8 o'clock on the Morning Rush. RD, you sent me a great clip of Desi Sills back in 2016 playing AAU ball. Got a chance to watch and then seeing him now, seeing his performance last night. How far has he come as a basketball player in your time that you've gotten to spectate him?
Well, you know, his game is very similar to what it was when he was in high school. I mean, I think his 3-point shot's gotten better while in Fayetteville, but he's pretty much plays the game the same way. You always kind of, you know, we always talk about in high school about these prospects in football or basketball. How well will their game translate from high school to college? Well, Desi's pretty much the same. He's always been fearless to the basket, and that's something that I would be watching him during spring and summer basketball and just be laughing, because here's this guy, and he was probably 6 foot, maybe 6'1" at the very most at the time, going in among the trees, and when you play spring and summer basketball, you're playing against much better competition than in high school, and you're playing some of the best competition, and the bigs are all, you know, 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", tights that you're going to see in college. So he's doing the same thing that he was doing back then. So it's no big surprise. He was just a guy that gave 110% at all times. And man, when he went to the basket, there was no fear with him. And we're seeing that right now.
Richard, you also sent me earlier this week, as we let you go on this, tell me about this chicken dish that you're so fond of in LR.
Oh, my God. Hacienda is our favorite Mexican restaurant, and that's our go-to. That it's got a little bit of heat, and that's what I like. And once you try it, I'll be very surprised if you don't like it. It's definitely one of my favorite meals. Definitely top five. I'm a big pizza lover, barbecue lover, but that is definitely in the top five.
We'll have to go there sometime, man. We appreciate it as always every Thursday, and we'll talk next week, buddy.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
We were just telling you about our friend Brett Good at Henderson Phillips Employer Solutions. And Brett and I have this agreement between each other, if you've been listening to us, that if the Packers win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday, he is going to let me sport his game-worn retro Packers jersey. Mm-hmm. And he just sent us a picture, and this thing is glorious looking.
And I want this is the, when you say the retro, this is like the old school, like, you know, Otto Graham or someone like back in that era. I'm trying to just think of someone like, you know, before they had film. It's just they drew pictures of the game. You know, they didn't even have film. You know, so this goes back. So this is a, what, black jersey with the yellow circle on it. Let me get this picture back up here. And his number, which was 61. And then some khaki pants that go with it. So I always had a hard time understanding these throwbacks to, like, you know, 100 years ago type jerseys at the evolution of the sport when they because neither team looks like they're supposed to, you know.
Brett,
you don't know who you're looking at out there. Yeah. But
Brett wanted to tell you it's blue.
That's blue?
Yeah, it's blue. Okay, it's like a dark navy blue.
I couldn't tell whether that was navy or black. Pardon me.
That's a Packers diehard through and through. But I am ecstatic that Brett is allowing me to wear his jersey. But it's, again, contingent.
I guess back in those days when they actually wore these, you just wore what other color they had available in the fabric. They didn't have fabric stores. Whatever they could mill there, or in the cotton gin, or what. However they did that back in 1901. I don't know.
This is going to be it, again. We're going to play. For those who don't know, we play. I'm new to this area, and I was luckily found myself a good group of dudes, and we play a football game every Super Bowl Sunday. Tommy, the invitation to ref is still open, by the way.
Yeah.
You're still up for it, but you know.
Have we worked out the honorarium or anything yet?
It's a big word. I don't know what that means. does that mean payment?
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah.
Got it right. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. It's a volunteer basis.
Oh, it's a volunteer basis.
So right. we're not getting paid. We're not professional. We're
well, there's no question, but I am.
Okay. So that's. So I'm really excited. You know a handful of the players, like you work out with one of the guys, and this is going to be a very intense matchup. And
How about Ram?
Yeah.
I work out while he sits on the bike and talks on the phone. That's what you call working
out. That is the least surprising thing. He always talks about how much he works out, but what you just told me is the least surprising thing.
While I work out, he talks on the phone.
It's the least surprising thing I've heard all of 2021, but I'm hoping that not only will I be well-dressed in Brett's beautiful attire,
yes,
but that I'll also be able to do at least a little something on the field. We'll see. We'll see. Make sure this knee doesn't snap.
So what time are we playing?
1 o'clock is what I was told. 1 o'clock.
All right.
Not, what is that, two, three Sundays from now? Not this Sunday, not the next Sunday, but the Sunday after. Because you got the AFC and NFC this weekend, the bye week, and then that. So it's gonna be a riveting Fort Smith South Side.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a riveting matchup.
Yeah,
I'm excited. It's gonna be
flag
intense.
Football.
No, not even flag. Is it flag? I think it's just touch.
Just touch.
I think it's the honorary code of touch.
Yeah.
Not two hand, just one hand. But
Jenkins, what could I do to get under young Ty's skin to make him just go off and
like in the middle of a game?
Yeah, just irritate him to the point that
the easy route
he just
is,
loses his cool.
The easy route would be to, like, make fun of D-Mac. That's red meat material with him.
That's true.
See, the thing about being an athletic competitor like myself is I don't get fazed by trash talk.
An athletic competitor?
Just execute. It's all it is. It's execution on the basketball court, on the pickleball court, on the football field. It's just flawless execution through and through.
Flawless execution. That is why he's sitting here with us.
You take a look.
Yeah, but
the continuous.
It's hard to take you seriously when you're wearing this hat. You got every hole in that hat has hair poking out of it.
Well, it's one of those things. John left it here. It's
wait, you're wearing a used hat?
I washed it. it's a net. It's what they used to give out in the student section. Did you really not know what this was?
No, I knew what it was.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
It won last night.
Listen,
there's a reason he left it.
I was going to come in extremely depressed this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Probably break the microphone, probably tell everyone that the world was ending because Arkansas basketball won lost their third consecutive game. And luckily, boys got it done last night. So I'm elated. I'm happy.
But with five minutes to go in the first half, you were ready to break equipment.
Oh, I was.
100%. Yeah. I'm sitting next to my roommate. It's like I'm about to throw my phone through the TV. Like, the levels, so, like, I mean, you know how I am with Razorback football. That's intense. Baseball, just down the hog pen drinking beer, whatever.
Yeah.
Arkansas basketball,
thank the Lord.
It's pretty excruciating to watch a game with me because I'm up and down, walking around the whole day. Because that, I mean, basketball is the sport I grew up loving. And I mean, I want to get back. I want at some point, I was talking to a Morning Rush listener about this the other day, to experience a national championship. Like, I keep hearing about what happened in 94.
Oh, it was glorious. The greatest time of our lives.
Didn't get to experience that. And like,
40 minutes of hell.
I don't know if Muss is that guy. I think it's a wait and see. But I want to experience that. The one on campus right now that has the best shot of winning the Natty of the four majors is Dave Van Horn. It's probably, I don't know if you follow that up with Neighbors and then Muss, or Muss and Neighbors then Pittman. Where would you go like that?
I don't know. You just confused me.
Of the four major sports,
yeah.
Basketball, men and women's, football, baseball, the pecking order for the Natty goes as follows, I believe. It's Dave Van Horn.
Yes, no question.
Now,
arguable.
Pittman's at four, based on just where the football program is.
The difficulty
is Neighbors
of the
at
SEC.
Two, or is Muss at two? Because those two and three, I think
Muss
would
is
be
at two, because it's more difficult
really?
In the women. Yes.
I'd flip-flop it. I'd probably go women. I'd go women to baseball.
Hang on,
yeah.
Hang on. Listen to me. Which one is more difficult to win in the SEC? A women's national title or a men's national title? Which one is? I'm just saying the pathway from a place like Arkansas. I'm not saying it can't be done in the women's, but I'm just saying
the
pathway is steeper just because of the level of competition you're facing.
Well, hey,
therefore, when you're playing South Carolina, you're playing Texas A&M. You keep going through the. You know, you're bringing in UConn just for the hell of it.
Say, yeah,
you know, it gets harder to get those one and two seeds. And let's face it, particularly in the women's game, you got to be a one or a two seed a lot of times to really have that run to the Final Four.
And that's typically reserved for South Carolina, Baylor, UConn, Stanford. Notre Dame, there might be another women's program.
A&M might be
you can throw A&M in there.
Yeah, throw A&M on there.
Yeah, man. That,
Mississippi State has been that kind of program.
Schaefer went to what?
Yeah, he left.
Texas? So. Where did he go?
Texas.
Okay, I couldn't remember all that.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.